how do you balance being a mom, being a wife, being a surgeon? How do you balance this?
Drugs.
I beg your pardon.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay, one, one, two, three, go. Hello, my favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated Bessie. It's your favorite nurse, Nurse John, and welcome back to your favorite podcast. I beg your pardon. Guys, do you see this? Do you see where we at right now? In a hotel room. But you can see those buildings back there? That's NYC, baby. Welcome to the jungle. And we are here today because we are spending holidays here. I'm actually here with Anna and Lindsay, but on the way to New York City, I saw a story of one of my good friends in social media that she is also heading in here for a vacation. And I shoot her a DM. And so I was like, hey, why don't we meet up and go for brunch, make some content? Because what do content creators do the best? Making content. That's right. And you can hear her from the background. You're going to see her very, very soon, you guys. But yes, I have a very special guest. She's the most renowned, okay? The most badass neurosurgeon out there. The most badass mom. Badass content creator. And I know everyone knows her, okay? So let me just present her. My special guest for today is none other than Lady Spine Doc, Betsy Grunch.
What?
Hello!
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
No, listen, thank you so much for accepting this invitation very last minute.
Honestly, I'm fangirling right now. I can't believe I'm on this podcast.
I'm even fangirling because I've met you. Listen, first of all, you're a doctor, very renowned doctor. And at the same time, I have been seeing all your videos everywhere. We've been following each other for a while now, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think a while. Long time. And we've been like, hey, we have to do this. We're like, you know what? Do your part of the video. I'm going to do your part of the video.
Yes.
And we're going to post it together, edit it together. And then now we are actually doing it
together
in person.
That's right.
And we had our first ever content yesterday, and people loved it.
They did.
Listen, I look at it. I was like, okay, 200K view, a million now.
Yeah, it's wild.
Did you look at it?
No, I didn't look at it this morning. Is it already a million?
It's a million. A million views on Instagram. You guys, people love that dance video that we did.
I'm not that good of a dancer, though, John. You're way better than I.
No, you guys. She's actually super good. What I was saying is that I feel so comfortable doing stupid stuff and all of this content creation stuff when I'm around with people who understands the same thing.
That's right. Yep.
You, me, Anna, Lindsay, Jay, we're just doing it.
Yeah.
We didn't even care.
Yeah. Well, I feel like at some point when you're doing it, like in your home or just you and the camera, even though you're posting it and millions of people are watching it, it's one thing. But then when you're doing it in public, you're,
I know, because people's eyes are just on us. It's like, what the hell are these older people doing outside dancing their asses?
That's okay.
And we're practicing at the same time.
Yeah, it was a few takes. Just a few,
listen,
not a lot.
Listen, few takes and we did that. We ate that. It was 4+4, baby. Mm-hmm. We ate that. And like I told you, people loved it. Mm-hmm. People loved it. I so love the fact that you are so down to do anything and everything.
Oh, I mean, you have to be, I think, right? I mean, it's fun. Like, you have to just release, put your, like, self at the door, check yourself, and just do it. If it's cringe, whatever, I don't care. Let's go.
Exactly. And we were talking about cringe because, like, we were talking about, like, you know, whatever you do in social media and how much positive or anything that you do, basically, someone will still hate on it.
Always haters. Always
right? Haters. Like, you can be the nicest person in the world and someone would still say something so mean about you. So I was like, you know what? We're cringe, but listen, we're here together, spending some time together, doing wonderful things together. And this is it.
Who cares?
I was like, well, cringe worthy.
That's right. The tenth comment on our video, cringe. But that's fine.
I was like, hashtag cringe. I love it. Listen, cringe family, join us. Because you know what? You can do whatever you want in the world. I keep telling people, I was like, you know what? Life is too short to even think of like that one single person who did not like what you're doing.
Right. Well, I tell my kids too. I mean, like, you are not going to please everybody. So you, as long as you're happy with yourself and what you're doing, people are going to like you or they're not. And don't worry about the people that don't like you, because that's a natural part of life. So
exactly. Like, I keep telling people too, I was like, not everyone's going to like apple, but you focus on those people who loves to eat apple and you guys eat together.
That's right. Because find your crew.
Find your crew. And we found our crew.
We did.
It was so much fun. I want you to introduce yourself to everyone so that they get a deeper connection with Lady Spine Doc. Because a lot of you guys who's listening right now knows her. We know her. She's popular out there. She's viral. So let's get to know Lady Spine Doc more.
So I am Betsy Grunch. I am a board certified neurosurgeon. I am from Georgia. I practice in Atlanta. I was born and raised right outside of Atlanta, and I've been there for 10 years. I did my undergraduate at the University of Georgia, go dog. And then I did my medical school at Medical College of Georgia and my residency in neurosurgery at Duke. And then I came back to my hometown and I practiced there.
So, oh my God. How long have you been practicing now?
10 years.
10 years. You just said that. I didn't have a coffee yet. It's like what? 10? 10 right now? 10:30?
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to be a neurosurgeon, to be a doctor?
Sort of. So just like, I feel like any little kid, you kind of idolize your parents somewhat. And I idolized my mom. She was a cop, so she was a badass.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How was that? How is it like growing up with a cop mom?
Well, there's not many cop moms. And I'm old, y'all. So I grew up.
Oh, stop it.
My mom was a cop in the 90s, and I mean, it's kind of like being a female neurosurgeon, honestly. It was like 10% of cops were women. So anyway, she would come home and have this big old police, like, bulletproof vest and guns, and I'm like, man, that's so cool. So I wanted to be a cop, and she was also a 911 dispatcher, so
oh my God,
be talking about all this stuff. She had three jobs. So she was a dispatcher, a cop, and then she also was like on the honor guard.
Oh my God. Okay, so now we're getting where the badass is coming from. I mean, like, come on.
Anyways, I just wanted to be like her. And then when I was 13, she was in an accident and she was working late at night. She worked the night shift. At the time, there was a very dangerous part of town, and that's where she worked. And her vehicle got shot at. She hit a tree and was paralyzed. And had a C4 spinal cord injury. So.
Oh, crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she was, I remember the doctor coming in and telling mm-hmm. us that what was happening to her. And I was just kind of like shook. Like I had no idea that something like that could happen. I've never had anything happen to me like that as a child. And so it was literally, I was in the ninth grade and kind of going through that time of the life where you start thinking about what you want to do when you get older. Went through about 6 months of rehab with her while I was in high school, kind of going back and forth to the rehab place to her, then to home and help and take care of her because she...
So you basically was a caregiver at the same time for your mom.
Yeah. I actually got my certified nursing assistant degree then.
Stop
too.
It.
Yeah.
Stop it. For the work that you've done for your mom. Yeah. You deserve that. That's oh my God.
So I did. We did. I learned.
That's why the nurses love you. That's why all these nurses are following you, because we feel connected to her. She is one of us.
I mean, did that through all through high school, helping care for her. And, so I decided I wanted to cure spinal cord injury. I was like, you know, fuck this. Like, why can't she walk again? I want to figure this out. So I started shadowing her neurosurgeon and started learning more about the spine and more about neuroanatomy. And so that was my passion. That was my drive.
That's such a beautiful story because, again, like for me to take up nursing too was because of my grandfather. It's always nice to like tell a story of why you become who you become because of someone in your life or someone you love.
Right.
That is a beautiful story.
Thank you. I think the people that are really passionate about what they do, like you, like me, I mean, most of us have a story, but it's usually a lot. I find out a lot of times it comes from something.
I see her in your like videos and stuff. So I think she's very proud of you.
I think she's downloaded every single piece of content I've ever made.
That's literally my mom. And she would comment on it. I was like, Mom, please don't comment.
I know. Mine like, too. I'm like, stop, Mom.
And she would share it to her friends. She's like, look at my son. he's out there. He's making big things. I was like, Mom, you don't have to tell them every single thing.
Oh, my mom downloads it and then reposts it on her page. I'm like, Mom, please stop doing that.
A very mom thing. A very mom thing. I mean, like, you're also raising some really badass kid. Oh. You've probably seen Betsy's kid on her videos, Riley and Bea. But this kid's, oh my God, they are so smart. So smart. And as much confidence as mama. I love it.
Riley loves you.
I love Riley so much. We have the same energy.
Yeah.
I love his energy. He was so funny because we were at brunch yesterday. And I think we were asked, what were you asking?
He was looking at the menu. And I was like, Riley, you know who's sitting next to you, right? It's Nurse John. He's famous.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, I'm already famous.
I'm already famous, Mom.
I was like, as you should. As you should be. As you should be. I love them. And they're so smart. They're so curious. They know a lot of things. And he read books. I don't even read books. I was like, you guys, how is this kid reading this? He's like, I read this thick of a book. Okay? And I was like, I cannot even finish 10 pages.
I don't like reading either. I don't know where he gets it from.
Oh, my God. He is a smartie. Well, your husband, too. He's such a sweetie.
He's funny. He's a wild man. That's where B gets her stuff from.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Where did you guys meet?
So, fun story. Okay. I was a resident, and I was like third-year resident, so we're working our ass off. And
like Grey's Anatomy type of resident.
I wish it was that exciting.
It was that exciting. Oh, my God.
I didn't want to meet anybody in the hospital, so I obviously working my tail off, so I was like, I'm going to get on eHarmony. This was a long time ago, back before there was any of these other dating apps, so I filled out this long freaking questionnaire on eHarmony. And
oh my God, eHarmony. Yes. Oh my God, I remember that.
Commercials, right? Right?
Listen, so the thing is, I had to sign up my mom in eHarmony.
Yeah.
Because she's like, you know what? It's been a while that it's been dry and deserty in here. And I was like, okay, Mom, let me research something.
Let's go. Actually, Ray and I were he was my first 10 matches. And he messaged me. Actually, no, take that back. He messaged me, but I got the email. And then to read the stupid email, they made me sign back up. So I was like, all right, I remember that.
Oh, crap. Was cute. Yeah.
So anyway, there you go. So the rest is history.
What? That is so cute. And I mean, you guys are unstoppable together. I feel like you guys complement so much each other that it just works so perfectly.
I mean, yeah, it's so hard, especially as a female physician. I'm just glad I found my person. So
he gives me the same details as Riley does.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I love this. I was like, yes, feed me with some information, you guys. I'm like, I feel so dumb next to them. I was like, guys, I should be doing more research and like studying a bit more.
No, I think they just like to hear themselves talk.
I love it. I love it. I love it. The confidence, everything is there. I love it. So going back into, you know, being a physician, you are a female physician. We don't see that.
It's always funny. I love going to like conferences, and usually I bring my husband everywhere. So if we're together, they'll be like always assuming that he's the surgeon.
Oh, God, so please. Yeah. Right. I mean, like he could look like he's one of the surgeon. OK, it's the same thing in nursing, too. Like, for example, nursing, most of them are female.
So how do you react? What do people assume?
I like the bounce back. I told them, like, look, I'm doing this because this is something that is meaningful to me, that there was a backstory why I wanted to become a nurse. We had a doctor told us, basically, your grandpa is dying. There's nothing else we can do. So just bring him home and pray. And then so I was so mad about that because I was like, as a doctor, you should be giving me reassurance. But of course, I didn't know that stage is, you know, there's nothing else we can do about it. And so I got really mad at that point. And I was like, you know what? I want to be something in my life where I can take care of the family and I can advocate for patients who will be going through the same thing as what we've gone through, and find ways to, you know, advocate for them and tell them that we can do everything that we could and make your family member comfortable. And it doesn't have to be just pray and do the most that you can with your grandpa. The only profession I can think of who's 24/7 bedside and right there with families and can support them and, you know, with them.
That's awesome.
And then so I continue doing that.
Yeah.
So here
and now
I am.
You're teaching.
Now I'm teaching.
Yeah.
Now I'm teaching and I am building this new, well, helping to build new generation of nurses for the future so that they don't have to go through the same thing I went through. Okay, well, my next question would be, how do you balance being a mom, being a wife, being a surgeon? How do you balance this?
Drugs. I'm just kidding.
Listen, just kidding. We're all drugged up a bit. Listen, remember, we're caffeinated, medicated, and a little bit hydrated, baby.
That's right. I think everybody has a lot that they juggle. It's a lot. I feel like we're always being pulled in different ways, like family, you know, trying to be the best parent, trying to be the best wife, trying to be the best to our patients, trying to be the best to you guys on social media. It's a lot. It's just all, it's a juggling act. And some days this more cup is more filled on one side than the other. And I just have to take time to dedicate to each place.
It's so true though, because I think like people always aim to like, oh, if I have 7 problems, they all have to be resolved at the same time.
Right.
But the thing is, you don't really have that capacity as a human being. I don't know if you have the same struggle as me, but I have been working on this struggle where even in family time, content creation is taking me away from it. And I have been so guilty about it. And I feel like, you know, sometimes I ignore friends and families. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but what's your take on that? Like,
I agree with everything you said. I mean, obviously, where social media is a whole nother world, but yeah, I mean, so like, if I've got something, I really try my best to do all my stuff when my kids are in bed because I don't want to take any time from them, and I hate it. The one thing I hate them is like, "Mom, put your phone down." I'm like, oh.
Oh, so my God, same.
It's like my knife in the heart.
My mom is literally like, you know, you could talk to me face to face, right? And I'm just like,
it's embarrassing, right?
It's very new for us. But at the same time, it's like you have to put it as one of the biggest part of your life because now you're not just making videos. You're actually impacting people's lives.
Yeah, I agree.
In a way that made you anyways continue doing it. Because you're like, listen, if I'm getting these messages, like personal, private messages from people thanking me for the content that I just made, man, I'm making a change.
It's so cool to be able to have people in Singapore or, you know, across the globe,
like,
right?
Places you would never, ever think that people will be watching your video, but they're actually watching your video. And you're like, where are you from?
Right.
Zimbabwe. Right. You're like, wait a damn minute. I reached that far?
Yeah.
And then they message you, they're like, thank you so much for making that video. You just changed my life. And you're like, oh, yeah, you changed my life.
I know.
And I was like, you giving me more like energy and compassion and motivation to keep doing these things. Because if I can make a difference from you all the way there from the other side of the world, then I can make a difference for more people. There's like 8 billion people in the world. I was like, man, if I can encourage like 2 billion,
amen.
I did my job, baby.
Right.
Put me to heaven. No, not yet. Not yet. I got a lot of pants. I got a lot of contents to post. No, not yet. But yes, that's what I'm trying to say is that I love the fact that we're making changes. And mostly you. Okay, so I make skits showing the reality. But you're actually teaching us things that are very educational. And like, listen, I watched some of your videos. I was like, man, Grey's Anatomy never taught me that. Nursing school never taught me that. But you did. Grace Lowen.
Dr. John.
Grace Lowen.
That's right.
Certified. Board certified. Oh my God.
Board certified badass.
Period. As you should. How do you feel about putting your life out there now? So this is one of the biggest questions that people have been asking to me and you're probably getting. How do you feel about like putting yourself out there? Again, we can lose our license from this because this is very public.
Yeah, it is.
This is very like out of our game type of thing. We're expected to be professional, but then we're out there showing our quirky self and letting people see the side that you don't really see if you're in your practice.
That's right. I feel like if I just talked about neurosurgery stuff, it would be kind of boring. I like to pull back the curtain on things that I think that I understand and that I know. And that, I mean, how many people deal with back pain? Like 90% of Americans will have back pain.
Baby, I got one.
I know.
Baby, I got one. I got one right here. I know I'm curing it with Tylenol. It's not working, but you know what? It's fine. But we got back pains.
We do. And so pulling back the curtain and explaining neuro, people that aren't in medicine or even physicians, even ER doctors or family doctors, I'll talk about topics and people reach out and say, you know what? I had a patient with that yesterday. Thank you for explaining that. I never knew that. And so I really love talking about that, but I feel like people want to listen because of they feel like they can trust me because they know me. So I put myself out there for a variety of reasons. One, because I don't think I could talk about neurosurgery all day because it's a lot. But
I mean, you do that every single day in your practice. Come on. Like, you're probably like, oh my God, even in here, I'm doing this, the same thing.
No, I love it. But I want to kind of show everything. And one of my passions is, like you said, inspiring the next generation. And if I don't show what I do outside of work, what I do with my kids, you know, people don't understand that you can have a life outside of your profession and do quirky things and drive cool cars and be okay with it. And like go to Times Square with your kids and spend Christmas here and talk to people like, and still be a good damn doctor and take good care of patients and want to provide the best care to every single one of my patients. That's why I post a little bit of everything.
That's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
You just gave them the best description ever. It's so true that us being in social media just gives people kind of like, hey, you know, like we're professional, but at the same time, we're human beings.
Exactly.
This is who we are outside of the profession. We have our fun side too. And if you're listening right now and you're questioning yourself and kind of like, I'm not really sure if I should be doing social media or anything, just do it. I would never even think for a second that I would be sitting down with a neurosurgeon, okay? But look where this whole social media thing brought me. I'm still like in shock, even to think that I'm like next to you. And another thing that I really, really, really love about you is that you make it fun in your workplace.
I think work environment is so important in healthcare. The environment that we create, the way we educate our nurses or future physicians is so not good sometimes. And we learn in a culture of negativity, like don't do that or that's wrong, don't do that. Instead of you did a great job doing that. I really try to be positive learning environment because I think, I mean, there are times where you need negative feedback, but
of course,
you know,
of course, it's a constructive criticism for something that you can improve on because you cannot be perfect at everything.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that if you're excited about where you work, you're going to do a better job at work. And if you dread going to work every single day and you just don't like it and you're just doing there to clock in and clock out, you're not going to give your best. And so...
Did you guys fucking hear that? Did the managers hear that? Did the hospital hear that? Yeah.
I said that.
This is the boss that we want. This is the doctor that you should be putting in our unit, okay? It's so true. Because at some point I was telling Anna and Lindsay that I was like, guys, should we quit our practice and work for her? Because I feel like we can just like come up to her, bring our phone and just be like, hey, Dr. Grunge, can we do this trend with you? And you'll be like, absolutely.
That's right. Put the patients in the waiting room, tell them I had emergency surgery.
We just have a cute 45 seconds of dance routine and we will be back. But we will give you the best possible care, the highest quality care. Because you know why? We're happy. We're satisfied. We're a team.
That's right. Amen. That's 100% true.
Like, I feel so much better if the person that I'm working with is showing me a more human side of them instead of just like, I'm a doctor. You're a nurse. We have a job to do. That's what we're going to be focusing on. Because that's most of the doctors I've worked with. And I'm not saying they're not good. They're amazing doctors.
Yeah.
But it's just that it's missing that connection with the people that you work with.
And here's my thought on that is nurses. I love my nurses. I said my because people always give me shit
it's
about
okay.
That.
We're a team. It's your nurses.
We're a team.
We're working together.
I'm your doctor, right? So
you're my doctor.
That's right. When I'm working in the hospital, talking to my nurses, I want to know everything about that patient. So I actually want the nurses in the room. I want to be able to talk with the patient, with the nurse, because y'all are there all the time. If they can't tell me what, if they're complaining to you about something and then I come in the room and then they don't even mention that, so I can deliver the best care. And by doing that, I really need to understand what they're telling nurses, what you see on that whole basis, so we can give them the best outcome, get them in and out as fast as we can, if it's in the hospital or even at the office. And, you know, if you don't vibe with your nurses and they don't trust you, then there's going to be a lapse of communication and perhaps even, you know, not the best care. So,
right. And I think that also is what's affecting patients' care.
Well, and you know, whenever you're on shift and you're working with this doctor or this resident or this nurse, respiratory therapist, physical therapist, whatever, you know when it's going to be a good day. It's because you know them and they connect with you, and that's the best team. And that's also the best team that's going to be kicking ass and taking care of patients.
Again, like, your team is so, I feel like they're so happy. I was like, I feel so happy for them that they found you and you found them and you guys are a whole team together. And I like the fact that you show it too in social media so that people can get inspired and be like, oh my God, if they can be this happy and fun and encouraging to each other. And I also see your stories every time, your little motivational story that It's a great day to save lives and a bunch of other things. I was like, man, this little things makes a lot of difference for somebody who's going through something. Or for somebody who's having just like a shitty day at work and just like, oh, yes.
You just gotta brighten it up a little bit. I try to do that every day. So some days I'm not good at it, but, you know, we do our best.
But, you know, we're never going to be in our A game every single day.
No, and that's okay. We shouldn't be. And I hope other physicians learn that as we train and grow, like, you have to support your nurses. You have to support your PAs. We're not better than anybody else. We're human. Just like I said earlier, like, I go home and change diapers just like the next person, load my dishwasher up, wash my dishes, and then go to bed at night. And I put my underwear on the same way as everybody else. So I'm no better than anybody else. I just do a different job.
Period. And I feel like the nurses are like, amen. I feel like they're driving right now listening to this. And they're like, amen, Dr. Crunch. Yes, you're speaking our language. You're speaking what we want to hear.
I want more people to know that. That there are people like us out there, and sometimes we just don't say it, but we're there.
Right. And I don't know, the status, the power part, I've always seen it in males. I'm sorry. I gotta be honest. It is true. The feeling of authority, the feeling of like, okay, I have more power over you because this is my status and this is yours. It's always when it's men.
There are some women that do it, but here's the difference. I find that if I go in a room like that, I am instantly the bitch. And so I feel like if I came in that as a man, I wouldn't. I would be the doctor. So I have to kind of check myself a little bit because of who I am, or else I've lost everybody at the door one step down just because of who I am. And
that is so true. The stereotypes of like, if it was a guy telling the same thing you're saying, it would have been, oh my God, that's so powerful. That's so like empowering. And then when it's coming from a female, it's like, she's just being a fucking bitch right now.
That's right.
She's being like fucking moody and she's taking her fucking personal fucking problems in this fucking workplace.
That's right. Ugh.
Man, it's so crazy. That is so true. I just got goosebumps because it's so fucking true.
It's true.
That's how people see it. Mm. And who sees it the most? It's usually guys too. Because they, you know.
I don't know. Women are savage, though. Like, the thing about women is that we say one thing to your face and then we say something else.
Ooh, baby, we in that profession. We are the best in that drama. We sip tea nobody else. So here's my take on like working in a profession where it's usually women. Okay, is that I feel better working with my male coworkers. And here's why.
All right.
That is because I feel like whenever I work with some of my female, you know, coworkers, there's always drama.
Oh my gosh.
There's always something wrong. There is always something to talk about. And then when there's the male coworkers, they do the job and they leave.
I have the girl squad. So y'all, if you guys follow me, you know that I have had a team of all women. So all my MAs, MPAs were women. And then I just, one of my dearest friends, Erica, my PA, that I have been the pleasure of working with for 10 years, she moved back home, which she had to. She's just at that time in her life. So she moved away, and I had a spot open for a PA. And I hired a guy, and everyone's like, oh, open her. Oh, my gosh, you got a guy. But you know what? He's so good for us. Because he breaks us up. Because there's so much drama.
Right? There is. And it's so true. And listen, in nursing, the toxicity sometimes in nursing is not just because of working condition, but also with the people that we work with.
Yes.
And it's when I'm telling you, when it's all female and I'm the only guy, you hear the bum, 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 bum. It goes so fast. Like, someone will find out someone is pregnant in less than 4 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone in the room knows, even the patient and the family members. Oh, my God. Nurse Tina is pregnant in her 40s. How? We just found out about this from a text. It's just crazy. And I think that's one thing that we need to work on in the nursing profession. Because, again, like, I feel so much better when some male co-workers, because these guys just work. They give less of a fuck of some things that my female co-worker would take, like would drag till 2000.
We like to do that, though. It's in our genetics. Like we want to like pull it in. We want to like drag it out. We want to then we want to go after the fact has happened and then go and research it and find the backstory of whatever has happened. And we're all private investigators, and every female is a licensed private investigator. We will find out.
I would say that, but also I like working with my female coworkers because I feel safer with them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel safer with them. I feel like we have this bond. But we thrive in drama. I thrive in drama too. I was like, don't put me in the drama, but I will listen to it and gladly sip it.
Oh no, you are in the drama, John. I know you are.
Baby.
Come on.
Baby, I am, but I hide myself. I was like, ooh, okay, guys, let it simmer down a bit and we will figure it out after. Anyways, we talk so much and I love talking to you.
I love talking to you.
You
should move to Atlanta. I can open up a nursing spot for you, John.
Listen, I will gladly be your assistant. I will work for you. guys, if she has an open...
with me.
We will...
with me.
Work with you. We will line up. Baby, we're going to go to Atlanta. We will line up. We will sign up for you. I mean, like, again, you just inspire a lot of us. And I think it's just so nice that we have doctors like you out there who's really showing the world, everyone, that it's possible to do anything and whatever you want in life and still be a good doctor, a good mom, a good wife, a good everything. And then have days where you don't feel good. But it's okay.
It's okay.
But you know what? You're killing it.
We're all human.
Exactly.
And I just thank you for everything that you do for nurses and everybody out there, but to everybody listening and to the nurses listening, thank you for what you do for healthcare and for our patients. So,
and thank you for all the doctors, you guys. We appreciate you too. Listen, you guys are the one who deals with us the most. When we call you and we just blah, 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 because our head and our mental A game is just not there, you guys are like, okay, take a deep breath. Tell me what you want, and we will make it happen. You guys calm us down, too. Sometimes my doctors are my therapists, too. They're like, okay, John, what's going on? You feel a little stressed. Can we talk about this in a more, like, lighter, lighthearted mood? Because sometimes I would be, like, super stressed at work. But, yeah, but before we end this, what do you want to say to everyone listening to this right now in this very, very special moment?
Oh my God, you put me on the spot.
Yeah, because people are listening. They're probably like, oh my God, yes. Bless us, Betsy Grudge, doctor.
Oh my God. Okay.
Lady Spine Doc, please. Bless us.
So everybody out there, I just want you to know that we all wake up every day, we look at our life and what we have to do for the day, and just do your best to give your best every single day, be positive, and know that no matter what you do every day, you're making an impact in somebody's life. And if you can do that, just one person every day, be nice to somebody, just say something nice, person walking down the hall, smile, a wave, whatever it is, if you can intentionally do that every day, you will make one person's life better and and maybe more. And I think if we all do that, we could change the world.
Amazing. I completely agree. And that's what we're doing right now. That's what we're doing in social media right now. We're changing the world one cringy video at a time.
Cringe worthy.
And that's, you guys, we're so inspired. I love this episode. You guys, I think this is one of my favorite episodes for 2024 because we're with Betsy Grange, you guys. I'm still fangirling and I'm still spending some time with her. Well, thank you guys so, so much for listening to this episode. But before that, actually, can you please tell us where we can follow you, when we can support you, what we can do? All of these people listening right now.
So if you want to watch my cringeworthy videos of my life, you can follow me I'm on every platform, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok.
Are they all Lady Spine Doc?
All Lady Spine Doc. Lady Spine Doc. Yep.
Beautiful. Yep. That's the best.
Easy. So if you guys like headbands, I made a collection with Junk Brand. So if any of the nurses out there like headbands, you got to check them out. They are the bomb. I've worn them for like 4 or 5 years. When I discovered them, and luckily they asked me to pair up, and so I've got a couple collections out there of like neuro headbands and stuff, so they're pretty sick, so you can check those out.
That's amazing. It's on my
junkbrands.com, and then just search Betsy Grunge.
And
that's all the merch.
Do we have a code that we could use? Because maybe we love codes.
They don't have any codes, but they're pretty cheap. That's like $16.
We're getting a few, guys.
Get the whole collection.
Betsy Grunge, guys. And junkbrand.com, right?
Junkbrands.com, yes.
Junkbrands.com.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. And you can find it on my Linktree, too. So
she has a Linktree in every social media platform. So you guys better check that out and support her, follow her, subscribe to her, everything. You guys do it best. Make sure you go do that. You know what to do, guys. Everyone, nurses, CNAs, nutritionists, physiotherapists, social workers, everyone, psychologists, you guys know. If you're following me right now, go follow Lady Spine Doc. She is amazing. You're going to find out about her life, her practice, everything, every single thing.
I'm not as amazing as John.
Oh, no. She's even amazing. Even more amazing than I am, okay? Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode.
You.
And I love you guys so much. Can you do me a favor and make sure that you download this episode and all other episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and make sure that you share it and follow us and turn on notification on Spotify. Thank you guys again for listening to this podcast. And I will see you again, Bestie, next week for another podcast episode. So tune in, and I love you guys so much, and stay caffeinated, medicated, and a little bit hydrated. I love you.
Love
you.
Awesome.